1 through 15. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish that those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning. How are we doing today? I'm JD. I'm one of the pastors here. Man, we're full today. Did you guys come out to thank God that Nebraska got a win last night or what? Seriously. Amen. God is good. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's been, wow. Well, yes, God is good. Hey, little selfish prayer request this week. I'm going to be out getting some just extra time and kind of silence and solitude and just prepping for our kind of our sermon series and stuff in the spring. So would really just appreciate your prayers for that this week. I know you're like, well, that doesn't sound that selfish. Well, it's possible that I'll do part of that silence and solitude in a deer stand. And so if you could pray that a big 5-point buck would walk by, that'd be great too. All right. Seriously, though, I will be working as well. But guys, I just want to say thank you for last week. For we had pastor's appreciation, and you guys surprised Tyler and I with just a potluck, gifts, cards. It was incredible. Thank you. Thank you so much. You guys, getting to be your pastors has just been such a joy for us. This really is an awesome, awesome church, and we are just having a blast. Really just getting to lead you guys, such a privilege. I walked in the office this week or last week and just, I looked at Alex and I was like, Alex, you are so spoiled. And then he started chasing me around the office and trying to beat me up. And I said, hold on, dude, I'm just, listen. I said, here's your story, man. You got saved at Wayne State in college, and then immediately God brought you into City Light as a church. You got to experience that and then come to Benson. And I was like, dude, you don't know how awesome it is to be able to be in a people like this with such great ownership, love of their leaders, serving, passionate about God, just running hard for the gospel of Jesus Christ so that he could be made great within our city. Dude, you got it good. And then he let go of the chokehold he had on me and we were all right. But you guys, I just want to say thanks. Like, you have been running so well. You have really been running well. I mean, just children's ministry, people serving teams. Michelle and I started a newlyweds group a few weeks ago, and it like signed up within like 3 hours. And then I had the next group that'll start in January is almost full. So if you want to be in on that, talk to me about that. We have people loving refugees in our neighborhoods, serving at Rose Hill Elementary School. I get in trouble because I call the single ladies in our church beastie, but I'm just like, we got single ladies that are full of faith, that love to serve. We have ladies going over to the mission field. I'm just like, that's just beastie. It's awesome. So you just got to praise God for that. And we got dudes who love Jesus, who are working to love their families well, serve their wives, to lead their families into mission, into obedience to God. CLB, you have been running well. Thank you. Well done. See, I believe that we have run well to this point because we have been motivated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I really do believe that's what drives us as a church. The good news that God saves sinners like us. We as a community have understood grace. We know that God's kindness to us isn't something that we deserve, but that he loved us so much, as Philippians chapter 2 says, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the thing that we celebrate. This is the thing that we hold up, that we talk about every week, that leads us into worship. We have understood grace because we have experienced God's love. And this is what has motivated us to reach out, to plant a church, to love Benson. CLB, do we plant a church so that God will love us? Try that again. CLB, do we gather to worship today so that God will love us? Thank you. That's a little bit better. I know you guys think I'm crazy because I do that all the time. But here's the deal. You're crazy if you think that I'm going to stop. Because we might have started well, but the danger that Paul's going to lift up for us today, it's not about how we start, but it's about how we continue to journey, how we finish. And he warns us not to fall from grace. CLB, would we be a church that goes into the future, that walks in grace, that does everything as the song that we just sang, by grace alone? So this is what I want us to get today, is how we run is directly connected to our understanding of grace. If we're going to achieve our mission here in Benson, to love God, to love our neighborhood, we're going to need to understand grace, to live in grace. So my big idea today is just run well by understanding grace. And we have 3 points that we're going to get into. Understanding grace brings freedom. Understanding grace grows our faith. And understanding grace empowers love. So let me pray for us, and we're going to jump in. Father God, would you open our hearts to your word today? Holy Spirit, I sense that you are here, that you want to do a work, that you want to do something fresh in us as a community today. Would you help me now as I unpack your word? In Jesus' name, amen. Understanding grace brings freedom. Paul has been driving his message home now for 4 chapters, over and over and over again. He's been putting forth his central theme of the book of Galatians, that you are saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And as we enter chapter 5, he continues to do this. He's going to drive it home again. But we're going to start to see a shift in the book. If Paul has been laying a theological foundation, today we're going to see how he starts to show how that theology actually gets worked out in our lives, how it begins to bring transformation in us. And so I'm going to jump around a little bit today as Paul continues to just apply these themes of freedom, faith, and love that he's been kind of dripping and building slowly throughout the book. Paul starts by summarizing the central point of the last 2 chapters here in verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. It's amazing to me here that the means and the end are the same. That Jesus has been working as a great liberator to actually give us freedom. He's freeing us, but why is he freeing us? So that we could live free so that we could live in the joy of the gospel, that we could experience the goodness of God, that we could be restored back into relationship. And it's not so that God can just get stuff from us so that he can put us to work, but it's because he loves us so much, he wants us to experience the joy of being free. But we see there's a couple primary enemies of this freedom that we'll see in the text today. In verse 6, we see that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Circumcision represents religion. It represents the law. And uncircumcision is license. It's a rebellion against God. It's living as my own savior, looking to find fulfillment and happiness and satisfaction outside of God. License. The Galatians were pagans who had worshipped idols before they came to Jesus. And we tend to look back at these kind of old first century cultures and we kind of just stand like, how stupid could you be that you would actually carve stone and wood and put it on your mantle and bow down to it? But as moderns, we're really not all that different, are we? We look for fulfillment outside of Jesus, in our careers, in relationships, in our athletic prowess, our academic accolades. We think that satisfaction exists in things that we can achieve on our own, and so we bow down and we worship them. Apart from Jesus, here was my plan. I wanted to be J.J. Watt. If you don't know J.J. Watt, he is the most dominating defensive end in all of the National Football League right now. He is ridiculously good looking. He is like carved out of granite. If you saw him, you'd know how I can say that confidently as a straight man, happily married. Is that too far, Tyler? I might have to hand in my resignation tomorrow. I'm sorry. He makes more in endorsements probably than he actually does, and he already makes millions for playing football. This was my plan. This is what I wanted for my life. But here's the problem. I was 6 foot, ugly, white, chubby kid carved out of marshmallow with an 8-minute 40. That doesn't quite cut it for the NFL. In fact, when I graduated, I was very disappointed when the University of Nebraska did not come calling. And even though I had a conversation with one of the coaches and I tried to explain to them that their current recruiting strategy had just failed utterly to surface my greatness in small town Midwest, they were not convinced that an 8-minute 40 was going to continue to help them win national championships. So I chose a school up in Chicago that was a losing record and had just had a bunch of their players arrested and kicked off the team. And I thought, hey, this will work out. I can be great here, continuing to run after my dreams. But then in preseason, as I entered as a freshman with great hopes of starting and achieving greatness in year one, I broke my foot. And I sat on the bench as we went to a glorious 1-9 record. See, what happens when the things that you're running after fall short? What happens when your desire is to be the best, the most rewarded, the most respected, but then the company hires someone who's better? What if you're a musician and you're looking to find satisfaction in that and how you can play the guitar, and then you get arthritis so bad that you can no longer strum and play a tune? Physical ailments. What happens when the idols that we run after fail to bring us happiness? What happens when they let us down? See, football couldn't be my whole identity. Eventually, I would have just had to quit on life. See, the enemy of my idolatry is defeated when I understand grace. The gospel frees us from running after lesser gods. When I understand that fulfillment exists only in Jesus and what he has already purchased for me, then I can find true happiness and fulfillment. The second enemy that we see here that I mentioned is religion. It's legalism. See, the Galatians were pagans, but they had heard the good news of Jesus. They had responded and placed their faith in Christ alone. But now there's these Jewish religious leaders that are coming into the church, and they're telling them, no, you didn't get the whole message. Paul left out a part. You actually need to be circumcised. You need to uphold the law. To truly have God love you, you need to become Jewish. Look at verse 2. I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. See, Paul puts before them a choice. He says, you can try to achieve salvation through your own means, through your own power to obey the law, but it's not going to work because you have to keep the whole law. You have to be perfect. And which of us stands here today and says, yeah, I'm perfect. I have done everything right in my life. And so Paul says, if you continue to run after the law for your justification, here's the reality. You will be severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Paul's not talking here about their eternal security. He's not saying that you can lose your salvation, but what he is clearly saying is that you come to faith in Christ and then you return to religion, to thinking that you can do enough, that God will love you, that he'll be happy with you by your level of obedience. You will fall short. You'll fall from grace. I like the way that Tim Keller, in his book, Galatians for You, explains this. The Galatians were in danger of going under this yoke, but the startling word in the last sentence is the word again. He's talking about verse 1. The Galatian Christians had been pagans who were under the slavery of literal idolatry, the basic principles of the world. But here, Paul once more makes his radical claim that pagan idolatry and biblical moralism, i.e. keeping the laws of the Bible, are basically the same thing. The Galatians had been amoral liberals, and now they were about to become very moral conservatives. Paul's saying that these boil down to the same spiritual slavery. Under circumcision, the Galatians will experience once again the anxiety, the guilt, and burden life they knew before as pagans. They will never be sure that they are being good enough. Their lives will be as fear-based and proud and guilt-ridden as they were before. In fact, probably more so. They will fall into the touchiness, insecurity, pride, discouragement, and weariness of people who are never sure that they have worth, righteousness. This is maybe our greatest danger as a church. We start strong, we're excited, we're full of joy for what Jesus has done in our lives, full of faith for what he will do in others, but then somewhere along the way, we fall from grace. We quit standing firm in the gospel alone. We start to think that, I got this. I can do this. I can do the stuff that I need to. I can obey. I can attend church and read my Bible. I can tell others about Jesus. I can be faithful. And it's a subtle slip at first of just thinking, I can do this in my own power. I can obey the law of God and I can keep the commandments. But here's what happens. As Keller said, you become touchy. You become insecure, prideful, discouraged, and weary, never quite sure that you have worth. And this leads to anger. You become harsh, judge of yourself and others. It becomes all about the rules. See, this is how I grew up. I'm a recovering Pharisee. I grew up in the church and I was full of pride and self-righteousness. I didn't smoke, drink, or chew, or date girls who do. I definitely didn't have sex because I knew it could lead to dancing. And that's what happens, isn't it, is that we start to put all these additional rules in. We start to hedge the good news of Jesus Christ. And it grows this legalism in us. And I want us to see this morning how Paul feels about legalism. Fasten your seatbelt here. It's about to get a little crazy. Verse 10, I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Does that mean what you think it means? Yeah, it does. I'm just saying, like, Paul just went a little bit nuts. It's a little harsh. Remember, he's been talking about circumcision. In case you're not reading this right, he's saying, go ahead and just take it all the way off. That's rough. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? It is. It's real. Paul is irate. See, he's defending himself because they have been coming after him. These religious leaders have been accusing Paul. They've been challenging his authority. They've been challenging his love for Christ. They've tried everything from, hey, Paul didn't give you the whole message, to Paul just forgot you need to be circumcised. And they're putting laws around the good news of Jesus Christ, and Paul loses it. He's like, he's being rhetorical here. It's great rhetoric. He's challenging them. He's just saying, if that's the way you're going to be, then just go all the way. That's how ridiculous it is. That's how foolish it is when we add laws on top of the gospel, when we start to think that it's through obedience to the law that we will be justified. He talks in verse 11 about this offense of the cross. What's going on there? He's saying that while we were still in sin, Christ laid down his life. And the cross is offensive to many people. Why? It's because I like to be in control of my own destiny. The cross says, you're a sinner and you killed God. That's what the cross says. And Jesus had to die for your sin, for my sin. Religion says you can earn your way to heaven if you're good, if you do the right things. But the cross is offensive because it says, no, no, you can't. The gospel says there's nothing that you can do to earn God's love. God just loves you. Amen? So much that he chose to die for your sin so that you could experience salvation. This is the message of Galatians. This is what Paul has been driving home over and over again. And so what understanding grace means is that you'll never think that you're good enough. It allows you to know for sure that you're not. Do you see how freeing that is? I don't have to be good enough. I don't pretend to have it together. I don't need to, because I'm saved by grace. Man, that is good news. Listen, CLB, look at me. We need to be a church that stands for truth. We need to be a church that unashamedly preaches the Bible. But here's my guess, is that when our truth-telling rings louder than our message of grace, that's when we begin to fall from grace. We begin to fall into legalism. Let's watch that. Let's be a church that remains free by remaining in grace, by understanding grace. Number two, understanding grace grows faith. See, it brings freedom, but then it begins to grow faith. All right, here's where I'm going to jump around a little bit. So jump back to verse 5, and let's start there. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Alex is going to get into this more next week, but I just want to highlight that it's through the Spirit. Do you see the goodness of God that he actually takes himself, and when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, he places his Spirit in us, and the Spirit grows our faith. The Spirit gives us the power to go and obey. And then in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything. So it's not religion, it's not license, but it's only faith working through love. Grace brings freedom, and it grows a faith that is active. A faith that works. But it's not a work to achieve the love of God. We live free because we already have the love of God, but now we can get after it and the power of the Holy Spirit. You were running so well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so I just want to ask you this morning, is there anything that's hindering you? Is leaven growing in your life anywhere? What's holding you back from taking fresh steps of faith? I really feel like the Spirit wants to do something in us this morning. I feel like as I've prepped this week, I've just been in angst, and I started feeling the attacks of the enemy last night, just lies coming in. And I just had this sense like, no, it's because God wants to press in. He wants to break through. He wants to do something in us. And as Les led the team this morning, just saying in grace alone, as Michelle got up here and shared her story, I just had this feeling of like, some of you, you've fallen from grace. Faith has dwindled a little bit. Some of the dreams that you dreamt when you first came to Christ, they're starting, you're just lacking a little bit. You're not sure that God really wants to use you. And I think the Spirit just wants to say to our community this morning is, dream big. Cast off what is hindering. He's saying, no, see, like, I didn't call you to just launch in Benson and then leave you to just flounder and struggle. I called you because I told you I was going to use you, that people were going to come to faith. They were going to experience Jesus. They were going to be welcomed into a new community. They were going to have their hurts and their wounds healed. The best way I can think to just kind of unpack this a little bit is to, if you'll bear with me, is just share a little bit of my own story. I started meeting just a new spiritual discipline this week, meeting with a spiritual director. I sat down with Pastor Wendell Nelson. Some of you know him. And he's just passionate about helping people just kind of pause and slow down a little bit and see where is God at work in their life. And so as I met with Wendell this week, he just asked me this question. He said, just give me a little bit of your story. Tell me where you've seen God work. And so I had to go clear back, because at the age of 7, growing up within the church, it's at that point that I can actually remember standing up during missions week and saying, I feel like God's called me to be a missionary. And I know I was 7 and I didn't know exactly what was going on, but throughout the course of my life, I saw God just continuing to build that, to grow that call in my life. And then in December of 2008, my wife and I were on a plane over to South Africa to be missionaries and to plant churches in South Africa. Can I tell you how excited and how full of joy I was? My whole life made sense at that point. I could look back and just see all the things that God had done and how he would raise me up for this moment. It was just this great, I was full of faith and excited. And then 3 years later, we had planted a church down in city center Cape Town. And it wasn't going well. It had challenges, it had leaders walk out, had made tons of mistakes, it went too fast, and we were just starting to hit burnout as a family. And so the death of all these dreams, the death of my calling, the death of my identity begins to happen as we close this church. And I find myself on a plane back to the States. And it just brings these questions of, who am I? God, what, did I miss it? See, I thought I was your son. I thought that you had intended good things for me. And here's what happened. It was through that experience that God opened up a whole new realm of my understanding of him and his understanding of grace. As I went through those challenges, God met me as a good and loving father. Wendell ended our session. He said, okay, I want you to think about for next time, how do you think about God? How do you primarily see God? And I just immediately, I already know the answer. God is a good and loving father who's taken me through hard things, but has revealed himself as good and kind. See, that's the story of sonship. That's the story that Galatians has been getting through. I sat down a couple weeks ago with a friend, Becca, similar kind of scenario. She'd been a missionary in one of the hardest to reach parts of the world. She'd been serving there for 3 years. It's a dark place. It was hard, single girl, full of faith, and she just hit burnout. She came back just hurt, wounded, disillusioned, not sure what was going on. But now she's praying, she's readying herself to go back to the mission field. I'm like, you're crazy. How do you get that crazy? And so I asked her, I was like, what did God do in you? And she said one word. She said sonship. The reality that God had chosen her, that he loved her, that he had already called her daughter, was so powerful in her life that it could overcome the brokenness, it could heal the wounds, it could again give her faith and fresh calling and vision for what God is calling her into. What's hindering you this morning? What are the lies? What are the defeats? What are the struggles that are holding you back? Paul wants to call you to throw them off, to cut out the cancer, to get rid of the leaven that is holding the church back, to step into grace afresh. And our understanding of grace empowers love. Look at verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Do you get here how Paul is bringing this full circle? For the last four chapters, he's been telling us not to live by the law, to come out of bondage to slavery through the law, and to come into grace. But now he takes it and he shows, don't you see? That if you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you live in grace, if you understand yourself as adopted by God, as loved by God, as called son, if that identity becomes the most powerful thing in your life, the thing that grounds you and secures you and allows you to stand firm, now you'll actually be able to be the kind of person, you'll be changed and transformed in such a way that now you'll actually fulfill and obey the law. You'll go forward and you'll actually be able to love God and love Benson. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, grace understood when I'm not looking at it to give me salvation, to give me justification, or when I'm not looking to the law to give me those things, but I look to grace and I receive that through Jesus Christ alone, it actually empowers me now to go and obey. It empowers me to love. And so again, I would just ask the question, where is God calling you to take steps of obedience? Where is he calling you to move out and to love afresh? See, we are all about the law. Here at City Light Benson, we believe that God wants us to obey and to fulfill the law, to go forward and love him with all our hearts and to love others as ourselves. That he would call us to actually put to death selfishness. That we would become a kind of people that when we're secure in Christ, I'm not so worried about other people's approval. I'm not worried about what you think of me. I'm not worried about my failures. But I'm actually able to walk in confidence. The gospel grows freedom. It brings about faith. It empowers us to love. Grace understood will free us to be a robust, vibrant community. It'll free us to love each other well. But if we fail to understand it, it'll lead to us devouring one another. It'll lead to us being a legalistic church that just shouts law at people and isn't able to enter in and love them. See, here's the deal. We can fake every other religious ritual, tradition. We can go through the motions. You can fake it till you make it. You can take communion, come to church and worship. But spirit-empowered love, that's something that only God can do in us as a community. Let's close there. Let me pray for us. Father God, would you speak to people right now? I think you have words of encouragement. You have words of healing for people. You have fresh callings. There's places where people need to repent and take steps of obedience. They need to cast off sin and put on righteousness. They need to look to you, Jesus, alone. So I pray that you would do a work in us this morning as a community, God. Would you lead us to understand grace afresh? Would you give us a new identity as sons and daughters? And that it would lead us as a community to become righteous, to be set apart, to be a people that is known for love. Would you be so kind to us this morning, God? In Jesus' name. Amen.